Hello and welcome to the Yarnings Podcast. This is Christine and I'll be your host. You are listening to episode 10, Soup Season.
It's a knit-along!
Let's start today by talking a little more about the Wren Along, the Wren Knit-Along. This is something that we started a couple episodes ago on the Yarnings Podcast, and it is open to anyone who is interested in joining in. Through January 31st, which is today, there is a discount available for anyone who would like to purchase the Wren shawl. I designed this, and so I am very excited to see people knitting it. The discount code is WREN2011, WREN2011, and there's a link in the show notes that'll get you directly. Then we'll be knitting the shawl together with the Ravelry group for the Yarnings Podcast, and then have a contest by random number for anyone who completes the shawl. Right now, there are several people in the forums that have cast on and posted pictures, and it's so fun to see people making this. So, even if you don't have time right now, hop on over and see the in-process wrens. They are looking great. The contest part of the knit-along will be going through the end of February, so you still have plenty of time to get your pattern cast on and get going with us. My wren shawl got started this weekend when mine at PixOrder got here, and I'll talk a little more about that in the yarning section. As people have noticed who have cast on already, the cast on is a huge number of stitches. But when you separate it up by stitch markers, it's really not that bad. You can get in the flow. And then once you get going on that and get the garter stitch part done, it's fun to get going on the nice small amount of lace pattern with double decreases, the W Wren part of the shawl in the first tier is my favorite section of the shawl because it's so symmetrical and it's so nice to be able to see however many stitches on either side of the double decrease and have it all come to a point, and then finally you get to join the stitches together at the top of this tier, and it feels so nice and balanced, and I love that. I am definitely a symmetrical person.
What are you yarning today?
For my own personal yarnings this week, I cast on and finished a long striped scarf out of crochet in blue for my friend Jennifer, who saw the orange one and wanted a blue one. And she wore it the other day when we got together. It looks very cute on her. So that was finished this week. I have started on some pot holders for my mother-in-law, and they are 3 strands of cotton, which is a little bit interesting to work with. I've done these before, but when I made them the first time, it was only 2 months into my knitting career. I had started knitting in November, and I decided for Christmas to give potholders to my mom and my mother-in-law. So that was 6 of them. And that was what convinced me that I needed to learn to knit continental, because I was having too hard of a time pulling those 3 strands of cotton and not hurting my wrists. So that was a good thing that came out of that. I got to learn how to knit both ways, and I am much more confident in continental than I am traditional knitting now. That's my primary hand that I use is doing continental. So I'm making another set of potholders for my mother-in-law at her request, and that is going well. I have one done. I can only work on them for a little while at a time before my hands get a little tired. So I'm just spacing it out in between other projects. And then I got my Knit Picks order on Friday, so I was able to, I got Comfy Fingering, which is 75% Pima cotton and 25% acrylic, and that is what I'm using for the Wren shawl for Amy the cartoonist, who is wanting one to keep her shoulders warm. And that's what I'm doing as I go along the knit along with the rest of the group. So I was excited to get my knit mix order so that I could cast on for that. I also got some gloss DK to do a scarf for my sister-in-law and some of the prize for the Rand knit along came in this box as well. And I grabbed myself a copy. I'm digging in the box right now. Sorry for the noise. I grabbed myself a copy of Brave New Knits by Julie Turgeon. Turgeon? I don't know if that's how you say it. I had gotten this one out of the library and I enjoyed the social part of this book so much. It really is a snapshot of now in the knitting world online. And I thought that was a really neat way to really spotlight where we are at this point. And so there are also some wonderful patterns in here. And so KnitPicks had their 40% off book sale, and I thought that was a good time to add this to my bookshelf. And I'm looking forward to looking back through it. I can see on the cover already the pattern that I was really hoping to knit, but I don't remember what it's called, so I'll take a look at that and get back to you on that one. I have plenty of knitting to keep me busy at the moment. I also took the yarn off my drop spindle, and washed it, and that set the twist mostly. I decided not to ply it because I already did it at such a thick weight. It kind of hovers between worsted to bulky throughout the yarn. It's not very even because it's my first yarn. So, I think there's parts of it that are a little overspun. I can tell that there's parts of it that are a little overspun because as I was winding it, it was curling back on itself. But I think that it's still going to work really well for something. So it was so much fun to get to take it out and wash it. I went through what my Respect the Spindle by Abby Francomont had suggested and washed it and dried it. And then once it was dry, I turned it into a skein. And I was having a hard time using my arm as a nitty noddy, which that a nitty noddy is an actual tool that you can use to make skeins. And so I was trying to just use my arm and wrap it between my elbow to my hand, but I kept getting it tighter and tighter as I was going, so it wasn't a very even skein. So I pulled out my keyboard tray and wrapped it gently around that. And that seemed to work way better. I'll put a picture in the show notes of it all skeined up because I am so proud. Also in my spinning world, I've carried my spindle around with me for the last few days, looking for some sort of a box or carrying case to put it in. And a lot of people online suggested a wine box. But it appears that the largest of the Chat Hilo spindles is too big for wine boxes. I tried probably 10 of them between the different stores I went to. And so it's just slightly too small. There was one that it almost worked, but almost wasn't good enough. It needs to fit inside. So I got a wine gift bag that might work, but I think I might crochet something so that it at least will have something that it can go inside of, just a long, like yoga bag kind of shape, and put it in there so that I have something to, when I bring it to Madrona. And then maybe while I'm at Madrona, I'll find something else. Or I could felt something. That would be another option. I don't know. I couldn't see. And then I looked at like camera bags and really nice padded things, but I can't see myself spending more money on the package than I did the spindle. Maybe if I had an expensive spindle, then I should be thinking about a nicer box. So, yeah, it was kind of scary carrying it around with me to different places. We went to a whole bunch of different stores that had wine and other things. So I kept it in its bubble wrap and carried around my basket instead of a purse so that then I wasn't going to squish it. I wasn't going to accidentally snap it in half. That's the thing I'm most worried about, is it getting bent into and snapping off. So yeah, that was definitely a test to see what I could find. And yeah, we'll see what happens with that. For my next pile of things to work on, I keep working on the Wren shawl. I've got more potholders. I've got another scarf and two more scarves. And those are all things that people have requested from me. So it's great to have that little pile of projects to be working on. And then I've got some prototyping that is going on in the background as well. I didn't get as much of that done in the last week because I've been thinking about the Wren shawl and the potholders and all that. So that's the story for the moment.
What's been cooking in Christine's kitchen?
I named this podcast Soup Season because it certainly has been soup season in our house. Eric has always loved when I made soups. And so I really made a concerted effort to try and make more this year and the last couple of years. I have never been a giant soup fan. And so that's what's made it a little more difficult. So we've been searching out recipes that both of us are excited about. The one that I made at the end of this last week was something I tweeted, vegetable cheese super soup, because it really has that super element, because it has a whole lot of vegetables and then sharp cheddar in it. Add parsnips is actually the secret ingredient. I didn't think I liked parsnips, and I tried this soup a couple years ago. I guess I'd have to go back and see when I watched 300, because I remember watching that the first time we ate it. And I know, silly and random, but those are the things I remember. But I really kind of liked the little bit of sharpness from the parsnip. And so over the years, we've tweaked it a little bit, and it really is a healthier soup because it's a pile of vegetables. And the thing that makes it really good is you blend it all up with a stick blender or in your blender, and then you just add the cheese at the end. But it's only like a cup and a half of cheese, so spread out between a whole huge pan of soup, it really balances out that it is a good, healthy, wintry meal. And we usually serve it with rolls of some sort. We had, I think, yogurt rolls this week with some herbs on them, and that always works well. So let's see the other soups I've been making. I tend to make brothy soups year-round because they don't take a lot of vegetables that are in season. It's celery mainly, and then anything else that I happen to have, like a pepper, or I've even put butternut squash in it. But the base of that soup is usually some sort of veggie meat. We've used chorizo, we've used Morningstar crumbles, I've actually crumbled up Morningstar sausages, and then you put a package of raviolis or tortellinis or something like that, and that sucks up all of the liquids and makes a really nice combination. So brothy soup is a little more year-round. Baked potato soup is one that I really like to make when my dad gets potatoes from Seattle. He has a really good person that sells Yukon Golds, and so he'll buy boxes of them and usually hand them out to us kids. And so having a really good potato for baked potato soup is nice. That one's a little less healthy. You definitely have to do a little more butter and cheese to make that really delicious. and bacon bits. But that one has been one of my more favorites. But my true favorite must be fried chicken soup, which I've talked about here in the past as kind of a curry celery cream soup with fried chicken pieces on top. And that's delicious. So, my biggest tip for when it is soup season is go to Costco and buy a case of chicken broth. You won't be sorry because it's such a better deal to have a whole case of probably 12 cans of chicken broth, and over the course of making those four batches of soup, I've gone through most of it, and it's been so handy to just have it there. And it really does add more flavor to your soup than if you were just using water. Some of these soups, I add half water, half chicken broth. Some of them, like the fried chicken soup, uses chicken broth and milk. But overall, having a good chicken broth, the low sodium kind, is definitely the best. So then you're not adding salt, you're just adding a little chicken flavor. And I would highly recommend checking that out. And next week we have one more soup that I will make, and that'll be broccoli cheese. So I will make sure and keep you guys posted how that one turns out.
Just what is a crafty biz?
The KDLB shop online is still up and running. I've done just a little bit of updating here and there. But the biggest thing that I did for my crafty biz this week was I did some more another class with Tara Swiger, because I continue to take her kitchen, test kitchen, where she does a subscription where you can get all of her classes. And some of that includes some one-on-one time. And so she helped me take some inspiration and turn it into a list. And I wasn't feeling like I had a direction yet this year. You know, it's the end of January. December was so hard, and so I've been really slow getting back into things. But I have a list now, and I've been working through the items, and that's making a huge difference for me. And so while I was making a list, I also finally took all of my items out of the holiday market boxes. All the products that had been boxed up, and all of the things that I needed for setting it up, and the Christmas lights and the lamps and all of that was all still in boxes. And now I cleaned out a whole section of my closet, have everything hanging up neatly, and for the most part, organized in a way that I can get at them again. So I feel a little better about my crafty biz after this last week.
Here I go, geeking out again.
My husband found a board game that we enjoyed playing over the holidays on computer format. It's Le Havre. I don't know if that's really how you say it. That's how I was saying it. And we played it in California from one of our friends who owns a lot of the board games. And so Eric found this computer version of it, and we can play together without having the game. We haven't bought the game yet. It's a big one, and so we need to kind of wait until we have the budget for it. But for now, we can play each other on the computer. And he's found he can make multiple copies of himself and play himself on his computer. But that's even more geeky than me. So, my geekiest thing this week was playing board games on the computer. And it was kind of fun. We had some little computer glitches. Our network was not working completely, maybe. I don't know. Something was happening that was causing it to not be in sync. And so then it wasn't counting things correctly. And that was frustrating. But if you have a favorite board game, especially one that has a lot of pieces, you might look and see if there's a computer or a iPhone or an iPad or an Android app version of it, because that's a little faster way to get a little bit of that gaming in without having to do massive setup and tear down. I also spent a lot of time this weekend on my entertainment geekiness When we fully caught up on Fringe, we now are actually up to the episode that aired. We watched the episode that aired on Friday. So nice to be caught up, and oh my goodness, so good. I did cry a few times, and I suspect they won't be the last. Maybe I was just emotional. I don't know, but there were some good episodes, and I am glad we are at the point that we are now. So if you haven't watched Fringe, I would highly recommend it.
Have you giggled today?
I got to go on a little Portland trip on Friday, a little last minute birthday trip for my friend Leslie, where we went to Knit Pearl, which is a Portland yarn store, and I'll link to that in the show notes, and Josephine's Dry Goods, which I had been to with the Oregon Flack and Fiber girls. And then we met up with our other friends for lunch at Henry's, which is where Henry Winehart started. And they have a burger called Christine with a K. Isn't that cool? Right on the menu? I thought so. And it was a smaller portion of a cheeseburger, which was exactly what I wanted anyhow. So, Christine with a K burger, you should get it if you go there. And think of me. They also have amazing gorgonzola fries. And I don't necessarily like gorgonzola in everything, but these are really good. So, there you go. If you're in the Pearl District, this is only a couple blocks from Knit Pearl and Powell's and all of the good things you should see when you visit Portland. Let's see. What else did I giggle about this week? Oh, I had been reading on the Product Girl site, which my friend Carla runs. It's a beauty blog, about base coat and top coat for your nail polish. And so I dug mine out. I knew I had some from when I was doing Mary Kay, but they were all dried up. So when I was at Target looking for a wine box for my spindle, I found OPI's base coat, top coat, and nail strengthener all in one bottle. So it was cheaper than getting separate ones, and we'll see if this really makes a difference. I have really been trying hard to grow my nails out. And I have a tendency to bite them off. So if I keep them colored pretty, then maybe I won't bite them off. I feel like such a better knitter when I have fingernails that are presentable. So that's a good thing.
A knitting gathering? Count me in.
I continue to be super excited about Madrona, which is coming in only a few short weeks, and I will be taking the train up to the Tacoma, Seattle, Olympia area so that I can attend. There will be a podcaster meetup that will be on Saturday, the 19th, in the afternoon. We don't quite have a location set, but I know that there will be at least four podcasters that I know of that will be joining us. Rachel of KnitSense, Erin of Anatomy of Knitting, Amy Toady Joe of the Outlier podcast, Chrissy from Manic Pearl, and there are a couple other people that I think might be. Those are the ones that I have talked to personally. So it should be lots of fun to meet up with some of your favorite podcasters, including me. I will have something to give out. So if you are around Madrona, I hope that you will come and say hi. I would really like to see you.
Next time on the Yarnings
My
podcast.
notebook page for next episode of Yarnings is very blank, so I don't know yet what we'll be talking about, but I'm sure there will be lots of yarning, geekiness, silly giggles, and stuff from my kitchen. Oh yes, I will report on my broccoli cheese soup and the read-along progress that I'm having. So until next time, you can visit the Yarnings Podcast site at yarningspodcast.com. All the show notes are there from every time I write out nice details of everything I talk about. You also will notice if you are listening to this podcast in something like iTunes or your iPhone, it has the tracks, the different chapters that I talk about divided up. So you can quickly jump from one to the other if you have to pause for a reason. And it also usually has pictures and links throughout. So hopefully that is helpful to some of you. I enjoy organizing it. Okay, so the Yarnings Podcast site has a link to subscribe in iTunes on the sidebar and a link to our podcast group on Ravelry, where we are discussing the run-along and every episode of the podcast. If you'd like to follow me around during the day, I am KDLB, just the letters, on Twitter. And on Ravelry, I'm Christine, with a K. I think that'll do it for today. I look forward to talking to you soon. And that's the story.